I am Camille Johnson, and this is Finding the Floor. Stories and reflections of midlife motherhood, family, and finding meaning in it all. Join me as I share a little piece of my life and figure out what I want to be when I grow up. Hey everyone, welcome to Finding the Floor. This is episode 132. And today we're going to talk a little bit more about the book, The Confident Mind, A Battle-Tested Guide to Unshakable Performance by Dr. Nate Zinser. So far, we have really been discussing how to really apply that mental filter we have in so many different ways, like the top 10, the effort, success, and progress, where you think about every day and write it down. Then you have your immediate progress report, or when you're in the middle of either an event or a performance or practice, something where you can see yourself doing well. And then moving on to the envisioning, and then even more was last week, which really has helped me so much, is this idea of really filtering your mistakes to be able to see them in a way that you can gain confidence from them instead of having them take away from your confidence bank account or your mental bank account, what he calls it. So this week, we're going to talk a little bit about what he calls some limiting beliefs that we've been taught most our lives, and what actually is better for us with our confidence. So what he calls kind of first victory alternative beliefs. And he has 7 of those. And so I'll talk about each one and their alternative. So one thing I just wanted to share, I don't think I shared this last week because I couldn't remember if I recorded it when he got his mission call, but my son got his mission call and he is going to Bolivia and we're so excited. But he leaves pretty soon. Like, I mean, we put his availability in the middle of June and that was the date that he's going. So that is not that far away. It's going to come by really fast. And I'm like so happy. And then I'm like, oh my gosh, wow, I'll be down to 2 kids at home. What? I'm not sure how I feel about all this. I think that's really one of the things about being a midlife mom, where you've got all your kids are transitioning to becoming adults, you know, like, and then I still have my teenagers, and just this getting used to life as you slowly readjust every year. And I'm sure I might even have kids come back home and live with me for a while. But right now it's kind of feeling, wow, this is going to be kind of real having 2 kids at home. So, super excited. And I had another announcement. I mentioned probably, if I don't know how many weeks back, that I had been interviewed to be on another podcast. This is my first time doing that. And it actually is live. It went live this past Monday. And the podcast is called The Cultural Hall. It is a podcast mostly about like the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints culture and just all things kind of talking about that. So if you are a member of my faith, I kind of share a little bit about my journey and my husband's conversion, a little bit about living here in Cleveland. And it's kind of a lot of different things. So yeah, if you want to listen in, I will try to figure out how to link to his podcast. Hopefully I can figure that out and then I will have that available for you guys if you want to listen to that, because I'm sure you want to listen to more of me, right? Okay. So today, so I find it, can I say interesting? Because I always say that word, fascinating, that it really is amazing how much you can change the way you view the world if you are aware of how you can filter things through your mind. I think that learning just to be selective about your thinking, that it's just really helped. I mean, I just think about, so I've had 1 week as a substitute teacher, and I had one major disaster, one day that was actually really quite good, and another day that I would say right in the middle, kind of good and bad. And I don't know, probably as to be expected as a new substitute, but I didn't go home crying. But being able to like filter that through my mind and see how I could even grow more confident with each experience. One thing I just really realized is I need to make sure that I know how to take attendance depending on the school, because it's different for each, like elementary school, or I haven't even been to the middle school or the high school yet, so I don't even know how that works. So just some like little tiny things that I've noticed that I need to make sure I'm aware of. So I just think it's really cool that you can really work on your mental filter to help build your confidence. And there's this quote that I really liked that I think really, if you can make this the emphasis of your life, or just be mindful of this, he says, "The need to be selective in your thinking and the process for doing so, using your human free will to mentally filter in and emphasize the thoughts and memories that build energy, optimism, and enthusiasm, while deliberately releasing or restructuring the thoughts and memories that do anything else." And lately, I've just been really thinking about those words of energy, optimism, and enthusiasm, and that how helpful that is. Like, someone who is full of energy and optimism is really fun to be around, right? Not that that's like your ultimate goal, but just the idea that you tend to build that energy, optimism, and enthusiasm, and you can kind of help build that for other people. And even just like, I was thinking about the things I wear and trying to be more like, when I get out my clothes, I think about, does this build like energy and optimism for me? And obviously, you need some basic items that, you know, go with everything, but, you know, just things that you really like, and making sure that you're building your life around things that bring energy, optimism, and enthusiasm. I just love this idea of building that through your mind and then seeing that like physically in your house or in your surroundings, that will help to remind you to do that regularly, to filter it through your mind. Okay, so like I said, one thing that Dr. Zinsser points out is that generally we are socialized to keep the status quo or to simply fit in. That's why sometimes he said at the beginning why people have a hard time with people who are quote unquote, let's say, overly confident. Someone like Muhammad Ali that just had this confidence about him. And sometimes we don't really encourage that. And he even said, "Did you ever have a teacher or professor in college who taught you to think that you were the best at what you did, that no matter what just happened, you were going to succeed at your next opportunity, and that every uncertain situation was likely to come out in your favor as long as you put in the work?" Do we even do that as parents? Like, I just think of, I'm going to read that again. "Did you ever have a teacher or professor in college who taught you to think that you were the best at what you did, that no matter what just happened, you were going to succeed at your next opportunity, and that every uncertain situation was likely to come out in your favor as long as you put in the work?" I don't think that we in general have been taught that. And maybe even as parents, we don't want our kids to be disappointed sometimes. So maybe we do want them to achieve, but sometimes we like are like, well, maybe you should have a backup plan and be realistic, instead of just like, this is your opportunity. And he even talks to a lot of his athletes who, you know, there's only one spot that can get, like, whether it be an athletic position or a performance, there's only one spot. And what Dr. Zinsser is saying is that you should tell them, well, that's going to be your spot. You put in the work and that'll be your spot. even if they are disappointed, but just that mindset of like, of course, that's going to be your spot. There's just a lot of really great stories in this book that I really can't get into. And he talks also at the beginning of this chapter of the book, which we'll call, I don't really know if I gave this a title at the beginning, but he really talks about having it decide to think differently. He gives an example of Deion Sanders, who's this football player who also played baseball, and just gives the examples of the things he would say to himself to create confidence. And many times we are not teaching in general our children in school these things. Okay, so he's going to go over, and I'm going to share the 7 limiting beliefs that he says we usually hear a lot, and then the alternative first victory belief that can help us to create confidence. Okay, so he first says, limiting belief number 1, remember your failures and mistakes. Those memories motivate you to improve. What he says about this limiting belief is that that belief puts a constant negative pull on your mental bank account. Dropping the wrong memories in your running total of thoughts, effectively running your bank account down. So if we're constantly focused on the things we're doing wrong, then that is what our brain is going to look for and to find and to remind us about, okay? And that really is not going to create confidence. So he says the alternative belief, the first victory alternative belief number 1 to that limiting belief is, remember what you want more of. That alters your brain and body, so you'll get more of it. And in this section, he says there are a few studies that show when we think about the times we have done well, or the quote unquote good times, that tends to create more energy for us and reduces the feelings of stress. He also says other studies indicate that recalling positive memories makes you less susceptible to depression. So this is what he reminds you with this alternative belief. Cultivate the habit of dropping into your brain ideas about images of what you want more of. Okay? So that's a belief you really want to think of, what we want more of. Think about the good, positive things. Okay, limiting belief number 2, always be your own harshest critic. And this is what I find really interesting, because I think it is so much easier to be a harsher critic because our brain tends to have that negativity bias. But he says this, if you criticize yourself all the time in practice and think about all the things you have to improve when you're away from practice, then you shouldn't be surprised when you don't feel any confidence on game day. Really, that is so fascinating. And I think when we are our own harshest critic, it's easy to not even think about the things that we're good at. So he says, first victory belief number 2. This is the alternative way to think of that belief. Always be your own best and most honest friend. So he says there's a term where you have unconditional positive regard for yourself. And in this section, he tells the story of Helen Marolis, who became the first American woman to win the gold medal in the 2016 Rio Olympic Games. And I just love this thought that she has, because she says, 5 days before the Olympics, I was looking back at my journal and I noticed that how much I was looking for perfection. And then she goes on to say this, what am I going to do with perfection? What do I really want out of perfection? What I want out of perfection is excellence. And then she said to herself, can I still have excellence without finding perfection? And then she realizes she can. And so at the end, she says, I won with all of my strengths and I won with all of my weaknesses. So that is just to remember, to be your own best friend. How would you treat your own best friend who is struggling? You would try to point out all the good things that you're doing and to remember those. Okay, limiting belief number 3, always be logical and think carefully about what you're doing. This one we're taught in school to be logical. That is just what we're taught. We're taught math. We're taught this equals this. I remember like studying for the SATs or the LSATs, and I hated the like logic part. Like, you know, you would have an example of like 3 different pieces of information you're giving, and then you have questions like, okay, if this were to happen with what information you have, can you deduct all these things? And so what he's saying is that being logical actually sometimes closes us off from the creativity, joy, and the discovery of anything new, precisely those things that give our lives the greatest meaning. And when it comes to confidence, he says, logic isn't always helpful. Because when we have logic, we're looking to the past. And sometimes we don't have examples from the past of what we want to do. And so it might not seem logical. So your alternative belief for the first victory alternative number 3 to that belief, it says, use both logic and creative fantasy to create your own reality. He says, the human mind's conscious analytical capacity is indeed wonderful and valuable, but just as wonderful and equally valuable is the mind's unconscious competence. And I just think about how we use our creative fantasy anyway. Like I said in when we talked about envisioning, and we use it to worry. And why don't we use it to just create great things instead of worrying about worst case scenario and become depressed? I just think learning that we don't have to think that way, like it's not required for us to think and worry, that we can actually just decide that things are going to go well, that things are just going to work out in our favor, like he said. And he told the story of Tiger Woods, who said to Oprah Winfrey, when he was very young, after winning his first Masters Golf Championship at the age of 21, he was the youngest to ever do so. He says, this is Tiger Woods speaking, the thing that I've always believed is that you should never place limits on yourself. Once you do, then that's what you're confined to. Be creative. Go beyond expectations, not just of yourself, but expectations of a human being. Go beyond that. Be creative. That's one of the things I've done. That's one of the reasons I've excelled, because I have no boundaries inside. And so you need to balance both the logic, and he says use the logic and realism when you're making small hour by hour decisions, but then use some creative fantasy, however unrealistic it might be, when you're thinking about a long-term goal or dream you have. Like, just be willing. So using both logic and creative fantasy. All right, limiting belief number 4. Always look for more knowledge, more information, more practice opportunities. Oh my gosh, you guys, when I read this one, I was like, that's what I'm trying to do all the time, is find more knowledge and more information, more practice. And it's interesting that that is a limiting belief. So he has this question, is the limiting factor in our professional or performance life really a lack of knowledge, not knowing what to do or how to do it? Or is it a lack of trust in yourself to do all the things you already know how to do? So maybe you have all the information you need, and it's the confidence to just go and do whatever you want to do, which, if I think deep down, I think that sounds right. He says, the truth is, the fewer things you have in your mind when you perform, the more efficiently your brain and nervous system will operate. Okay, this one is kind of interesting and something I need to grapple with for sure. He says, first victory alternative belief number 4. The key is enough knowledge consistently applied. And in this chapter, he talks about, there was a study done about the golfers who win kind of the most money at the end. And the difference between those that won the most is actually the amount of like putts that they make at the end, like the fewer putts. So everyone's pretty good at almost everything, but being really good at being a putter. He asks again the question, what one or two key points would make the difference in your work if they were consistently applied? So I think that is really interesting, is that many times we keep on bouncing around to things that might be better instead of sticking to one or two things we know that will like help us be great. He tells a story from the book Good to Great by Jim Collins about the fable of the fox and the hedgehog. And this sly fox is always trying to find ways to trap the hedgehog, but the hedgehog just has this move where he curls up and extends his bristles. And each time he does that, he is not fooled by the fox, and the fox can't catch him. And so maybe instead of searching and searching for all this knowledge, that maybe we need to decide we have enough and to consistently apply what we have. Okay, limiting belief number five that we kind of have grown up with. You better be really good at something before you become confident about it. Isn't that so true when you think about confidence? Like if you were to ask someone what confidence is, it's like, oh, well, I've done something so much that I'm really good at it, so therefore I can be confident. But he says, beside the fact that you may need to believe in yourself now, the forever questioning brought on by this belief almost guarantees that you will never feel truly confident. Because when are we ever done with like being good at something? There's always something we can nitpick at that, you know, we still need to improve. He reminds us that our state of mind and our sense of certainty is a choice that you make regardless of the situation you are in and regardless of the level of preparation you have achieved. You can just decide. Again, even if it doesn't seem logical. Because how are we ever going to start or try something new? And I've also heard that if you think about confidence, is the willingness to be bad at something and start something new. I like that too. Okay, first victory alternative belief to this limiting belief. So first victory alternative belief number five. Beliefs produce behavior, so confidence comes first. Again, how would you even be able to start anything if you weren't confident in yourself that you could maybe even try something new? So he says, without the initial spark of confidence, there won't be sufficient energy, drive, motivation, and awareness to develop any competence. And then he points out is that you never really know how competent you are until you act with full confidence. You have to believe first is what really the alternative, that real first victory is the belief that you're confident comes first. So limiting belief number six, worship the gods. The experts know what's best and the winners have earned your reverence. So this one I really find interesting. He says, looking up to some icon on a pedestal teaches us to compare our records and accomplishments with those of our competitors and opponents. Result, we end up overestimating our competition and underestimating ourselves when we don't really need to. I remember there was this one specific diver when I was in high school who was a year younger than me. So when she came on the scene, she was my competition. I think I built her up too much. And he's saying that you don't need to do this. He's saying, first victory alternative belief number six is know thyself and trust thyself. For every competitor is human and beatable. And an example with this diver that I probably thought was way too good, when I come into a competition and I see her there, I have this idea that I can't beat her. And then he says a lot of times, sometimes in competitions, that coaches will highlight these great stats of whatever team that's there, of the opponent, but without devoting equal time to describing the weaknesses and vulnerabilities. And so just be aware that everybody is human and resist like to believe the hype that is put up by the media. Like that's their job to hype up everyone. But he says, imagine your opponent, what that person might look like at 6 a.m. in the morning after they just get up and shuffle to the bathroom. Like everyone is a person just like you. So I like what he says at the end. So forget the experts who create rankings and hype. Buying into those images and those stories does nothing for our confidence. Every opponent is human and beatable. Every situation understandable and winnable. Doesn't that create so much more confidence? Because when you have these teams that are so good that you think, oh, we're never going to beat them. But if you just think of them as they're just a team and they're human, and maybe we can create some sort of opportunity where we could win. Or let's do it. That creates more confidence. Oh, very, very interesting how we kind of are socialized to believe a lot of these things. Okay, the last one. Limiting belief number seven. Above all else, thou shalt not screw up, aka the team that makes the fewest mistakes wins. This is really an interesting one, because a lot of times you are so worried about making mistakes in a game. And he says, when you have a fear of making mistakes in your mind, you become cautious instead of assertive, reserved instead of intense, overly analytic instead of natural and flowing. So when you're so worried about making mistakes, it sort of has this stiffening feeling, or you aren't as, like what he says, you're not as relaxed. And I notice that sometimes that I have one particular daughter who really doesn't like making mistakes. And sometimes that does hold her back from trying new things. So he's saying the first victory alternative belief, number 7, is above all else, play to win. And he's basically saying it doesn't matter how many mistakes you make. If you can overcome those mistakes and still win the game, then that is the most important, right? It's not about the fewest amount of mistakes. It's about how you come back from them. And it's interesting how in this part, in this section about this first victory alternative belief, there's a story about Eli Manning. And remember, we heard about him at the beginning of the book and how he won the Super Bowl by throwing this great touchdown at the end. And so he is in an interview, and this person from the media asked him if he ever considered the ramifications of failure at a time like that. Okay, so this is what the media person is asking him. And he says, I just think this is so great. And it just shows what kind of mental filter he really has worked on. He says, that is exactly what you don't do. Manny said, you recall all the times you've succeeded in those moments. You recall the game earlier versus the Patriots where you had a fourth quarter drive to win. You recall the game versus Dallas where you had a fourth quarter drive to win. In Miami, Buffalo, you recall all the successes and you forget about the games where you didn't have the drives, where you fell short on those opportunities. You have to misremember those moments and just recall the positive ones. That's the feeling. Obviously, you can tell that he has been trained. Like, you can't, in that moment, he's saying there's no way you can think about failure, because then you're going to have all that mental chatter and it's going to wreak havoc on your confidence. And as his definition of confidence is the least amount of mental chatter going on so you can perform at your best. He says Manning operated from the belief that the team or player who plays well despite mistakes wins. And I just love all of these ideas about these first victory beliefs. So I'm going to say them one more time. I'm not going to say the limiting belief because we probably all know that. I'm going to say the first victory beliefs. So first victory belief number 1, remember what you want more of. That alters your brain and your body, so you'll get more of it. First victory belief number 2, always be your own best and most honest friend. First victory belief number 3, use both logic and creative fantasy to create your own reality. First victory belief number 4, the key is enough knowledge consistently applied. First victory belief number 5, beliefs produce behavior, so confidence comes first. First victory belief number 6, know thyself and trust thyself, for every competitor is human and beatable. And then first victory belief number 7, above all else, play to win. So he wants to remind us that the purpose of socialization is to encourage conformity and the continued existence of the prevailing social order. Its purpose is not to help you discover the full extent of your talents and abilities. So what he's reminding us is that you have to think differently to continually grow and become confident and great in what you want to accomplish. And I really need to work on some of these. I might need to write these down along with my top 10, just a reminder of these first victory beliefs. Okay, you guys, I hope this helps all of you. And as always, I just am so grateful that every week I have people that are willing to listen. And thank you for being listeners. And I will talk to you next week. All right, see ya. Bye.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode. If you have any questions, come by findingthefloor.com, where I will have show notes and links for anything I've mentioned today. Special thanks to Seth Johnson for creating and performing the theme music. Come back next week, and thanks for listening.
Mm-hmm.